I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora, talofa and bulavanaka. Welcome to The World in Sport. I'm Vinnie Wiley. This week, the RNZ Pacific team takes a look back on the big sporting stories from an unprecedented year, the ongoing impact of COVID-19 and what we can look forward to in 2021. But first, the first woman to lead a Pacific Games organising committee says it's an honour and a privilege to be given the opportunity. The former Solomon Islands basketball and netball international, Shalom Akal-Waita, is the CEO of the 2023 Pacific Games in Honiara. Mrs. Waita was also a part of the Solomon Islands team management during the 2017 Pacific Mini Games in Vanuatu and said her background gives her a good understanding of what makes for a successful event.
Having represented the country in basketball and netball and just being to a few Pacific Games and Mini Games, when this opportunity came up, it was very, for me, it was very motivating. I wanted to be part of this, of being able to host the games here and be part of the group, and also having done a lot of work in country with other sports organizations in both netball and now with Solomon Islands Tennis Association, and seeing the development of athletes. This is what attracted me, being able to be part of this undertaking, being able to showcase the Solomon Islands and what we can do in delivering the game.
So those experience both as a player yourself representing your country and then on the management team, I guess you'd have quite a range of perspectives then about what makes a good games, what makes it enjoyable for the athletes.
Definitely. And that's sort of what I feel that I bring into this position because of the experiences that I've had as an athlete, as an official, and seeing it from through those eyes, what it is. So that when we're hosting, bringing those experience into all the planning and the organizing and delivering the games in 2023.
And Shalom, what does it mean to you to be the first female CEO of a Pacific Games organizing committee?
For me, it's a humbling, I'm honored to be appointed into this role, to be the first female and first local CEO for the game. I think this is a great opportunity, and I'm very humbled by this appointment, and I am looking forward to basically bringing everyone from the youngest to the oldest, from our involving our former athletes, involving our communities in this. This is a national project for us. It's our time to really showcase Solomon Islands, what we can offer, how good we are at hosting, and just being able to bring our communities on this journey to 2023. And so this is a great honour and a privilege for me.
And what do you see as the big challenges in your role? Obviously, with COVID-19, there's been an issue with some of the Chinese contractors' delay in terms of them getting back over here. That happened a couple of months ago, and to the best of my knowledge, the design work, they were hoping that would be completed by the end of this year, and I'm sure you can tell me if the intention is still for the building to start on the beginning of May next year. What's the sort of key focus for you at the moment?
that is still on the plan. So the designs have been completed. They've gone back, and the plan is still to start building in May. We have also the Indonesian government with a multi-purpose for the futsal stadium that they were building. They have gone through quarantine, and they sort of this week starting as well with building that. And also, so that's on the facility side, which we have a facilities committee that looks after it. For the GOC, Games Organizing Committee, which I'm responsible for, it's really getting all the bits of the puzzle in place. And so looking ahead, establishing the committee, having all its policies and procedures in place, having our board of directors induction meeting, and then just really getting all the work packages and all the work that has to be done, the planning of it, the budgeting, everything. This is sort of for the next 120 days is the plan to get all these things in place. And then before we start to really get more people on board. So that's sort of the initial focus right now, but always thinking about, you know, with COVID causing delays, just ensuring that our risk management strategy is updated and we are able to capture and identify the strategies to mitigate the risks as well.
That's the Chief Executive Officer of the 2023 Pacific Games Organising Committee, Shalom Akau-Waita. Flying Fijian's prop Haere Te Hetet is counting down the days until he can see his family again after a two-month whirlwind in which he tested positive for COVID-19, has spent almost 4 weeks in quarantine and made his test rugby debut. The Bay of Plenty Loosehead came off the bench in Fiji's Autumn Nations Cup win over Georgia earlier this month in what proved to be their only game on tour after a coronavirus outbreak in the squad.
I didn't think really that much of the COVID when we were going over there. I thought it was going to be quite, you know, managed in terms of us going over there, but it was a hell of an experience.
Because first of all, you were one of the guys that was over in London, right, with the Barbarian squad?
Yes.
And then, fortunately, the Fijian boys were all very good boys, and you guys did everything you were meant to do. And obviously, some others went a bit of a walkabouts there. So, I mean, that's a bit of a bizarre situation. But I guess that sort of started off a very interesting 6 weeks for you, as a game that never went ahead.
Yeah, we're disappointed about that because you know, we had pretty much everything at the hotel. You could imagine the treatment and stuff like that. So, just let down there by some local players.
When it all sort of blew up, did any of those guys apologise or say anything to you guys? Or I guess once the game was called off, I suppose people had to go their separate ways.
When they came back to the hotel, they had to isolate from us. So all those fellows had to go to a whole different floor and to us. And we didn't actually see them. But they did put a message in our group chat apologising and saying sorry.
And then obviously you had, Semi had tested positive. And initially it was like, oh, well, it's a shame he's not going to be able to play, but, you know, everybody else can. And then obviously we had the big one with whatever it was, 13 or 20 or, you know, quite a few positive test matches. What was the sort of, you know, reaction in the squad when that news filtered through and you realised how serious it was?
Yeah, we're all quite gutted. You know, we prepared well for that week for France. It was gutting, but once we came to that last game, we were all clear and stuff, you know, it all was worth it. Oh, not the COVID, but when we played the game, you know, it was a lot more satisfying after winning against Georgia.
What did it feel like running out there for that game? You know, keeping in mind the experience the whole squad had gone through, and then on a personal level for you, you know, playing your first test match for your country as well, in such a circumstance must have been quite surreal.
For me, running out for my first time, I was getting a bit emotional there. Even with no crowd, it was still had that feeling. And just to come out of all that adversity and being off there, you know, quarantine, all our games possibly not being played, it was all, you know, like I said, worth it. And then debuting was something special.
Were you one of the positive tests? Are you able to say that, or you don't have to if you don't want to?
Yeah, I was one of them.
So do you have any idea how that came about? Or, I mean, obviously there was quite a few of them that got into the squad at some
point.
So.
Nah, well, I didn't. Just had it tested positive, and then I was feeling a bit not the same because I didn't know what the hell. But I don't know, because we're isolated. When you're in your room, you sort of, even though I was testing negative, now you're in your room for so long and you I don't know, it's all in, I keep thinking it's all in my head. You know, you start just overthinking things. But then I actually tested positive, yeah. And then I was like sick for a couple of days and just body aches and lost my taste for like 4 days.
And then obviously you did test negative and then you did go back to training and you did get on the field for that test debut. So as you sit in quarantine up in Auckland now, do you feel 100% again? Or
same fitness, I'd say. And then I probably lost a bit of weight while I was over there. Yeah, body's all good.
And so by the end of this process, you would have spent, 4 weeks in quarantine in two different countries. Is it any easier because you're close to home, or is it maybe harder because you're so close to seeing friends, family again?
It's easier here because, you know, I'm close to home and the light, start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Been a lot away for, I don't know, 2 months now, I think so. So just excited to get up and take advantage of staying at home, just go travel New Zealand.
And so who's that, who are you looking forward to seeing when you finally get out?
Oh, it's my tānau, my son. I get out on the 24th. That's my son's first birthday. So we had his first birthday on Boxing Day.
What was their reaction to you making your debut?
Yeah, they were quite happy. Well, my partner was quite, she was pretty happy that it wasn't for nothing. Going to go there for nothing. Happy that I got out there for a run.
That's the Flying Fijians rugby player Haere Te Hete. 2020 has been a year of unprecedented change and disruption as the world came to a head with a global pandemic. The sporting world has not been immune to the upheaval. But amidst all of the cancelled tournaments, tests and flights, there have still been some successes to celebrate. RNZ Pacific news editor and Penrith Panthers loyalist Kuro Vakauta joins me now to discuss our Pacific sporting highlights for the year. And Kuro, what have you got for us?
It has been an unprecedented year, as you mentioned, with COVID. But funnily enough, one of the big sports events or sporting leagues that kicked off in the midst of the pandemic and drew a lot of attention was the NRL. And for me, as a Penrith Panther fan, that was a highlight of my year. They're few and far between, as you've mentioned. But the Panthers went on to have a winning streak of 17 games during their season. They were minor premiers. They made it all the way to the grand final, but then unfortunately lost to the Melbourne Storm 26-20, but the key thing for me was the emergence of players the likes of Jerome Luai, the standoff for Tor Samoa, and also Stephen Crichton, the centre. They were two players that really broke out this year. They both made the NRL Team of the Year, along with the likes of Api Koroisau, the hooker, and William Gikau, the second rower, who made the NRL Team of the Year again. That was definitely a highlight for me and something to comfort me during the pandemic.
And while you talk about Jerome Luai being a Toa Samoa international, Viliami Kikau, whilst they weren't able to represent their countries in 2020, both of those guys have generally signalled that they very much still want to wear the blue and the white jerseys come next year, which, of course, fingers crossed, we are going to have a Rugby League World Cup.
Exactly. The likes of Luai, who has been looked at from all angles as a key player, a star player in the league. He made the New South Wales State of Origin squad for the first time, as did Stephen Crichton. Neither of them made the field. But then the question was put to Jerome in particular, because he has turned out for Tor Samoa, whether this would change his mindset in terms of eligibility. He can play for Australia if so required. But he says no, he's all for the blue jersey of Samoa now and into the near future and into the future beyond.
And of course people will be waiting with bated breath for the outcome of the Tonga National Rugby League sort of off-field dramas. Not much happening on the field International Rugby League this year, but we've had some off-field dramas in terms of who's going to control the administration of the sport up in the Kingdom of Tonga. But of course ultimately what people probably want at that World Cup later next year in the UK is will they get those best players out on the paddock? You talk about Tor Samoa and Fiji, of course, Matemata Tonga, what they did 3, almost 4 years ago now, so incredible in New Zealand and Australia. And I imagine a lot of people would be pretty excited at the thought of, you know, that team that started to pull out some consistent wins now against big nations. Can they build on that over in the UK?
Yeah, with that ongoing saga, as you say, and we've been covering it here at RNZ Pacific, that it was taken to the Court of Arbitration to try and get some settlement there. And just it'll be interesting to see if how that plays out in terms of the impacts on the field. We know that the historic victory over the Kangaroos, that was an invitational side of sorts, and whether that kind of side could take the field in the UK when it comes World Cup side, World Cup time or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Another event that for me was a bit of a standout in the region was the Cook Islands Games. And if you'd told me I'd be saying that in January, February, I would have been very surprised. And it's not because it's not a great event, but partly it's because the event had been dormant since 2015. And they brought it back off the back of the pandemic when the Cook Islands was, of course, COVID-free and still is, to basically sort of rejuvenate the local sporting scene. And with countries and teams, international teams couldn't fly out, they couldn't go compete in their regular events. There wasn't an Olympic Games, of course, over in Tokyo. That's been delayed till next year. So the Cook Islands said, hey, let's put on our own festival.
Yeah.
And literally everybody got involved. I think it was about 4,000 locals that were involved in the event. Some from the Outer Islands, some, you know, predominantly they came from Rarotonga, but they were people that live on Rarotonga but obviously have heritage with the other islands. So they were actually representing either where they came from or where their sort of heritage lies. And, yeah, you know, people I were talking to over there, you had multiple generations. You had children, you had parents, you had grandparents that were all sort of training together or competing at various different levels. And it seemed to be a sport that, or an event, should I say, that really did capture the whole nation.
Yeah, and even the region, because there wasn't a lot going on in the region that people, there was live streaming of this. And as is the case with a lot of Pacific events, man, it was so colourful, so entertaining. You had the sports that you see all across in the Olympic-type sports, but then you also had the traditional sports like stilt walking and coconut husking as well. So definitely it was one of those highlights of the sporting calendar for the Pacific and pretty much the biggest event in the Pacific Islands this year.
And off the back of the success of that, they're already promising to bring it back in 2022. So now it's a regular event again, and I guess fingers crossed we've got the bigger stuff like the Olympics and the Pacific Games to come in the years. But you know, this is something that's been revived locally that now has, you know, got a firm place in their sporting calendar.
Yeah, and in terms of revive locally and plans for the future, I guess another big thing to talk about in terms of the sporting calendar for the Pacific was the historic match between Moana Pacifica and the New Zealand Māori, and we know the future of that is up in the air, but there are hopes that this will be a gateway into Super Rugby, but that fixture in itself drew a lot of attention. It was the last major match of the season in terms of rugby union, had some star players across the board, across the park, and a close match in the end as well.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about Super Rugby and what this Moana Pacifica franchise or bid could become potentially, but even as a standalone match, you know, we've got the Māori All Blacks, which celebrate, you know, New Zealand's Māori heritage, and that team has a long successful history of beating huge nations. But Moana Pacifica, a lot of people saying, well, can we have a game like this every year? And I guess twofold, you've got your Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, Cook Islands, etc., getting their representation in that game, but also people that have already committed to, like the All Blacks, Joshua Wane, for example, and, you know, people like that also get to give back to their heritage as well. They can't do it at test level because they presumably enjoy playing for the All Blacks, but this does mean a lot to them and their family that they can also just, you know, show that there are different parts of their makeup and how they've sort of come to be who they are, and they can pay tribute to that.
Yeah, it's paying homage to their parents and their ancestors, and it was interesting to see the likes of Ari Savia and Ngani Laumape getting firmly behind the event as fans as well.
That was RNZ Pacific's news editor, Koro Waka Uta, and that is the world in sport for the year. We'll be back in February with a brand new program called Champions of the Pacific. Until then, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.